Welcome to the Frequency 49 show. I'm Paul MacDonald alongside Brian Davis and Gary Rutledge. Hello, guys.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Good evening.
I'm not bad. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Looking forward to getting back to some 49ers football.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's been a fun and busy few weeks since we first started the Frequency 49 show, with a Thursday night game and an international series and the week 10 bye, meaning that getting the show to a schedule has been near on impossible. But now with the bye week out the way, we're able to start bringing you guys two shows a week. The first show of the week is going to be a review of the weekend's game, along with the two-minute drill that we've already had. And the second show, near the end of the week, will be a preview of the coming weekend's game, along with the Pick 6 Challenge. May as well start with the new schedule right now by reviewing the Week 11 matchup at CenturyLink Stadium with the Seattle Seahawks. Brian, what do you think so far?
Another defeat is very imminent for me, I think, as the easy way of summoning it up.
Do you really think it's going to be that bad a game?
Quite possibly. Seattle are a very wounded animal right now after getting shellacked in their own field by the Arizona Cardinals last week. So potentially we are going up there on a kind of nothing to win, nothing to lose sort of type game, I think. It might just be a matter of when Pete Carroll calls the dogs off for us, I think, unfortunately. As much as it pains me to say that, because I hate the chomping, stupid-looking man.
You see us going up there as cannon fodder then this weekend?
Pretty much, yeah. It's going to be the Seattle Seahawks are going to have a bee in their bonnet about Arizona beating them in their own stadium last week, and I think perfect remedy for Seattle would be to see the 49ers coming into town with Blaine Gabbert as the starting quarterback, an offensive line which would struggle to block a group of girl guides. It's just going to be meat and potatoes all day long for Seattle Seahawks, unfortunately. I'd like to think that Gabbert can go up there and perform nicely, maybe unleash some of that inner Alex Smith that we've seen up in Seattle at times, but can we really win up there? In all honesty, it's not looking really particularly good for us, is it? Let's be realistic about it.
Gary, the 49ers haven't had a lot of success at all up in CenturyLink, have they?
No, not at all. And it's nice to hear Brian being nice and positive to start the show. I'd love to say I'm going to turn that around and make it all nice, but I can't see us winning there either. It's a game we, like you said, we don't traditionally do very well at. They're going to be hurting. They're not performing well this season. They've just come off the back of a big loss. So yeah, I think we are going to be meat for the dogs. But I do think it'll be a better performance than last time round in the reverse fixture. I think we'll score more than three this time, and I think we'll go there with a more attack-minded mentality. Gabbert's got nothing to lose, as we said last time, so it'd be nice to see him come out, throw a few passes, and even if we just come away with a couple of TDs on the board and still lose, that'll still be progress. Might have Carlos Hyde back, might have Bolden back, so there's some positives to look forward to there.
The Seahawks are 13-point favourites going into this game, but when you look at the record, they're only one game ahead of the 49ers. Does that say more about the Seahawks or more about the current 49ers?
I think when you look at the stats for the both teams, you know, Seattle, they've got a very good, you know, rushing attack, and they've got a very good pass defence, whereas, you know, we don't rank very well on anything, really. The worst in the NFL at points scored. So, you know, Seattle have lost a few close games. They haven't been the team they've been for the last couple of seasons, and had a surprising, you know, certainly the home form's been terrible from what they used to. But I still think, you know, they're a far better team than us, and there's still more positives for them than there is for us.
Yeah, I think it's probably looking at the alignment of the two teams as well, isn't it? You know, looking at the kind of upheaval that we've had in our team, the fact that we don't travel particularly well up there. We've not seen Blaine Gabbert on the road in a 49ers uniform yet. We don't know how he's going to cope with the noise that the Seattle fans are going to win. So I think it's probably more of a reflection on the 49ers than it is Seattle. And like I said, you know, Seattle are going to be absolutely gunning for us. It's like almost like the perfect kind of get well sort of game for them, isn't it? With a pretty poor team coming into town that you've got massive history, or not massive history, but you've got recent history with certainly a grudge match of sorts.
Looking at the stats, points scored, points allowed, anything. The 49ers are not just behind Seattle on everyone; they are way behind Seattle on everyone. Is there anything in the 49ers that we saw against the Falcons that makes you think we could actually go into Seattle and maybe come away with a win, even if it's a close win?
I think the key is stopping Lynch. It's something we've not done traditionally very well, but we did see Freeman shut down by the 49ers, a rejuvenated 49ers defense, the week before the bye. And if, we can somehow, continue that form, stop Lynch, Seattle's passing isn't, an attack that we really need to fear. So that, I think that's the key. If we can do that, then there is a glimmer of hope there.
And what do you think, Brian?
Not particularly, unfortunately. Maybe we can kick more field goals. No, not at all, really.
Okay, it's time to take a look at our pick six challenges for this week. And that means it's time to introduce a brand new voice to the podcast. Welcome to the show, Kev Nalen. Hello, Kev.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're all good here. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
We're talking right now about the Seattle game that's coming up in a couple of days' time. Have you got any thoughts on that at all?
I'm just interested if the guys think that the Seahawks can manage to blow another fourth quarter lead. They've been leading in every game they've played this season in the fourth quarter, but have only won 4 out of 9.
That's a damn good shout, that, actually, yeah. What do you think, Brian?
Being the negative Nancy of the show, I think that by the fourth quarter we might even see the Seattle Seahawks benching some of their players because they've got that much of a lead, unfortunately. I'd like to think completely opposite because I absolutely despise Seattle, but I think this is going to be one lead that they're easily going to hang on to. I don't think Pete Carroll's going to call off the dogs until there's a good 4 or 5 touchdown difference in this game, unfortunately, as much as it pains me to say it.
Looking again at the stats, going for passing yards, they're not really that much higher ranked than the 49ers. 49ers are ranked 30th out of the league, and Seattle are ranked 27th out of the league with, 35 more yards on average per game. Rushing yards, yes, they have got the numbers on the 49ers. Gary, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I said earlier on, the key is shutting down Lynch. You know, they aren't a passing attack to be scared of. They haven't got, elite wide receivers on the team. And we have got a very good pass defense. So if we can try and shut down that run game early on, I don't think it's going to be a 4 or 5 touchdown deficit. I think it's going to be a couple of touchdowns in it. So, we have got hope. And to say if we can come away with there with a narrow defeat, I think that's a positive going forward.
Yeah, they've never really had a spectacular passing offense, have they? I think they've just managed to do enough with Wilson, and Wilson has got that escapability that he can buy, 6, 7, 8 seconds, and from there, your defensive backs can only stay with the wide receivers for so long, and they're going to get open. And Wilson is the kind of player that can make plays with his legs, or he can buy enough time where he can make a very good throw and lead receivers into space and move the chains that way. That they've never been a kind of air it out type team, because like Gary says there, they've never had any kind of really standout wide receivers for probably a number of years now, actually, really, when you look back at the Seahawks receiving core. Probably Jimmy Graham that they've got now, the tight end, is probably probably the biggest name player that they've had for a few years in their receiving core, I think.
Right, Kev, it's time to hand the show over to you, I think, and we'll rattle through these pick sixes. The scores have been quite fun up to now, haven't they? The whole thing's been quite fun, and it's very, very tight at the top.
It is indeed, yeah. We've got Jordan McDonald and Keith Fish, who are leading the way with 15 points so far. And there's a whole host of people just behind on 14, including yourself, Paul.
I don't want to brag or anything, but...
Yeah, you're doing better than your co-hosts. So Gary's got 12 and Deepak and Brian have got 10.
You wouldn't think I haven't got an absolute clue, would you?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the first week we did this, in the week 7, when you managed to get all 6 right when you were actually running the pick 6 that week, has been a bit suspect now.
I like that thought.
I don't think that's slanderous or libelous.
Seeing as nobody's managed to get the whole six right since then, it is looking more and more like an oddity.
Did I not get double points last week for my picks of the Buccaneers and the Bears? Because no one else picked them, I don't think, and on the podcast. Surely I should get double points for that, I think.
You did the best out of your co-host last week. You got three.
Thank you. Yeah. Wow.
Paul and Deepak got two, and Gary, you got one. Even I got more than that last week, and I picked two ties.
And I think I only just got one. If the Patriots had thrown it away at the end, then it would have been none. But it's, you know, still 8 weeks to go. I'm still positive that, you know, I can finish right up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Well, a half marathon this season.
Yeah, considering the results last week, I think James did very well to get 5 out of 6.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was a very crazy raft of games last week, wasn't it?
Well, results were, yeah. The games I think we picked for last week were quite sensible. It's just the scores went a bit barking.
I've got to say, though, yet again, that for all the listeners who are making who are voting for the picks for us, an outstanding rush of games. And again, this week, we've got six great games to pick on. So, shall we go through them?
Okay, we will do. So, the first one up, one of the early games, it's the Raiders at the Lions. Brian?
Well, as I pointed out last week, if I pick the Raiders to win, they lose. If I pick the Raiders to lose, they win. So, this week, let's say that the rejuvenated Detroit Lions, fresh off of the win against a Green Bay Packers team who the wheels seem to have come off their bus, let's say that Detroit are going to sneak another win and help us towards a higher draft pick in the draft next season.
Okay, Gary?
Yeah, I seem to be cursed with the Raiders as well. Every time I pick them, they seem to go the opposite way. But I am going to stick with them this week, going to go for them again. I think great result for Detroit last week against the Packers, but I think the Raiders are just going to edge this one out.
Okay, and Paul?
I think the Lions was a complete fluke last week. I can't see them doing anything to stop the Raiders, who are going to be coming off that game themselves angry at the loss that they had. So I've got the Raiders winning that one.
Okay. I've picked the Lions because I've picked the Raiders too many times this season already. I can't do it anymore. Next up, it's the Rams at the Ravens. Gary?
Well, I think I'm going to give up the Rams now. They're definitely the Jekyll and Hyde team of the NFL, and I seem to pick them every week, and they always let me down. So I'm going to go for the Ravens. Narrowly lost to the Jaguars, and the Jaguars are not looking too bad this season. So I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to stick with the Ravens, and they're going to try and pick up a third win of the season.
Okay, Paul?
I've got to go with the Ravens. The referees have come out and said, or the NFL have come out and said, that the referees got the call wrong and the Ravens lost to Jacksonville. You could say that maybe the Ravens shouldn't have let Jacksonville get that close, but I think that they are going to have a point to prove against the Rams, so I've got the Ravens winning that game.
Okay, Brian?
I'm going to go with the Ravens at home, and again, another team to hopefully win and help us get a higher draft pick in the draft next season. See, I can be positive in a weird kind of way.
I'm going to have to go for the Rams, because every time I do, I jinx them.
Fair enough.
Right, the third game is the last of the ones we've picked here from the early starts, and it's the Cowboys at the Dolphins. And Paul?
Roman back, the saviour of the NFL or something like that, golden, whatever he is. He's going to be back for the Cowboys. The Dolphins look absolutely diabolical. Did they win last week?
They beat Philadelphia.
Another fluke. Cowboys win.
Okay, Brian?
This is a really ugly game, isn't it? Cowboys lost to the Buccaneers last week. Dolphins somehow came from nowhere to beat Philadelphia. I'm going to say that this game is going to finish Dallas 3, Miami 2.
Okay, Gary.
Yeah, like Paul said, Romo's back, but you know, any team that can't score a touchdown against the Buccaneers is you know, poor overall. I'm actually in Florida for this one, so if I don't go for the Dolphins, my girlfriend's dad's going to kill me, so I'm going to have to go for the Dolphins.
Okay, so this is the one that I picked my now weekly tie, and the main reason being is that the stadium is going to burn down after the honorary captains Dan Marino and Troy Aikman spontaneously combust after looking around and seeing how cacked the rest of the teams are. So, game four, we're moving on to the later evening games, and it's the Packers at the Vikings. And I'm going to go with Paul.
Packers are coming off a three-game loss against the Vikings, who beat the Raiders last week. I've got to go the Packers. The Packers have got to turn it around. I know that they've been in free fall, but there's got to be a bottom, and I think they've hit the bottom now. So Packers win against the Vikings.
Okay, Gary.
Yeah, I think I've got to say the same. Even though the Vikings are unbeaten at home, I just can't see the Packers losing another one. So I think they're going to have to resurrect their season. And yeah, I'm going to go for the Packers.
And Brian?
Well, the Vikings seem to be the team with a fantastic record that nobody seems to be paying attention to and talking about. So I'm going to stick with the Vikings at home. Well, at their temporary home. To continue to turn the screws on the Packers and improve to 8-2.
And I'm picking the Vikings because they're still rolling like Limp Bizkit. Okay, game five is the game you've already previewed. I think I've got a good idea what your choices here are going to be. It's the 49ers at the Seahawks. And I'm going to go with Brian.
Seattle.
Gary?
Yep, same word, Seahawks.
And Paul?
I picked the Atlanta Falcons in the last game. I got bitten by it. Red and gold till I'm dead and cold. 49ers win.
I'm going to go for the 49ers, mainly out of blind faith and the fact that there's no way I can pick the other mob. Okay, the final game is the late game on the Sunday night, and it's the Bengals at the Cardinals. I will go with Brian.
Well, this potentially looked a fantastic game last week. Bengals came unstuck a bit this week, didn't they? 10-6 in Houston? Or against Houston, anyway. Cardinals coming off a fantastic win in Seattle. I think I'm going to pick the Cardinals in this one at home. Buoyed by the win in Seattle. And be interesting to see how Cincinnati bounce back after the defeat to Houston.
Okay, Paul.
As Gary says, the Cardinals are at home. The Bengals have now lost their unbeaten status with their loss to Houston. They kind of fell apart on Monday Night Football. So I know they've got a better record than the Cardinals, but the Cardinals do seem the real deal this year. Cardinals win.
And Gary?
Yeah, I can't see beyond a Cardinals win. I think a great result for them against the Seahawks. You know, the Bengals will obviously be doing their best to bounce back after an awful offensive performance last week. But, yeah, the Cardinals at home, very strong team. Going to have to stick with them.
And I'll make it the full set for the Cardinals, as I think the Ginger Ninja's invincibility cloak has now been pierced and the Bengals' season tails off from here. Okay, so that's all the picks, guys. Thanks for that.
So that's it for this episode. Thanks to Andrew Mitchell for running the Pick Six behind the scenes. Thank you to the listeners, the reason we produce the show. Thanks to Audio Nautics for our theme music. It's time to say goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, boys.
Bye, boys.
Au revoir.
On behalf of Gary Rutledge, Kev Nalen, and Brian Davis, I've been Paul McDonald. You've been the audience, and this has been the Frequency 49 Show. Bye for now.